welcome to Hype episode 34. We've got a full panel here this week. We've got Selena, who's saying bye to her mom right now. We've got Marima. We've got Josh, and Kyle is back. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
Yes.
Yay.
Hello.
So everybody wanted to make sure they were on this week because we have lots to talk about. First and foremost, the new Mockingjay trailer. Finally, Lionsgate released something substantial for this film because we were teased left and right with new posters, new teaser trailers. All of them were pretty good. Some people didn't like the Comic-Con trailer that came out. But this one seems to have pleased everybody. It's got some story in it. It's got some action. It's got little romance with Katniss demanding.
It's got a lot of story in it, actually.
Yeah.
The whole film.
Yeah. Oh, was it too much?
I thought it was too much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're already at that part of the marketing where it's just
too much.
Too many trailers.
First trailer.
In the whole film.
Yeah.
But they did show a lot of the battle. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, they did.
If you didn't know what happens, you probably realize it's not the same movie as before or not the same story.
So did everybody like it overall, the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Look good.
It looks like a completely different set of films now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully
these are as good as the last one.
Yeah.
Even visually, it's just very gray, black and white. I mean, it makes sense. The part of the story right now, it's a very depressing part of the story. It's a very war-torn part of the story more than ever. Katniss looks great. Gale looked great.
Is she wearing a wig in this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have to think past that.
It looked good, though. I didn't notice.
I know. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of mentioning it in my trailer article. I was like, you know what? Never mind.
Well, I just remember Kristen Stewart's looked terrible, and this one I didn't even notice, but I remember someone had said it would look good.
Yeah. Or
not distracting, rather.
I don't know if we want to go through like particular scenes or anything, but I mean, there was a lot. It looks like it's more exciting than the book. Is everybody in agreement about that?
Yeah. That was the consensus in the comments.
Yeah, because that seems to be the main concern about this film right now. It's like splitting this into two films and then making sure it's an interesting story. But to see action sequences like Katniss and Gale taking down Capital aircraft with bows and arrows, I thought was really cool. Was that in the book? It's been so long since I've read it.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the Mockingjay nerd. It's fine.
Okay, so then
nerd.
So then let's ask you, was it mostly scenes from the book?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Awesome.
But I think I think I've said this on Hype before, but I feel like Mockingjay is the only book that it actually makes sense that they've split it into two. Like, I know we joke about it, but the main criticism that people had with Mockingjay was that it was really, really rushed, the book. Mm-hmm. So by splitting it into two films, it means they can expand on all of the things that were rushed and, you know, they can give a little more detail or take their time with things. So that's exciting. I think it's going to be really, really good. I think it's going to be like the two best films. And I really loved the first two. And Mockingjay was my least favorite book. But I still think, like, from this trailer, this looks like the best film already. And we've only seen the trailer from it.
I agree. I really like how real the emotions feel. Like, you know, there's such an emphasis on Katniss's feelings for her family and for Peeta, especially him being stuck. I think it's going to be a big part of the movie, setting up the tension. And I think that's going to be really, really exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them focus on the part at the end of the book when, like, Katniss passes out, and then when, like, she wakes up, then everything's done, like, the war is over, and, like she's won and everything, and, like, I'm like, alright, like...
You think that's gonna be like that? Do you think they're gonna change something?
I hope it's going to be different, because we're getting more than Katniss's point of view in the movie, so I'm hoping that when she passes out, things will continue in the movie, and we'll see things as they carry on, because I hated that was when of the biggest things that annoyed me in that book is that she passed out and she woke up and everything was over. She's like, oh, I am. Okay, it's done.
Right. So that'll be in part two.
Lucky Suzanne Collins. She didn't have to describe everything that happened when Katniss passed
out. Yeah, the plot happened in another room.
Like, and then, like, 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you're right. We're definitely going to actually see those scenes be fleshed out thanks to all this extra time that they have. But also, some of the battle sequences in here, does this trailer hint at where the film could be split? And again, yeah. I turn to people who are more up
like
on the book.
Like when they arrive at the Capitol, you think?
Yeah. I mean, this didn't really clearly, I don't think, show us any place where the movie will potentially be split. I know Francis Lawrence, the director, in a recent interview said that it's actually going to be a bit of a surprise where it's split. So I don't know if he means surprising in like it ends on a surprising moment or
he doesn't know
yet. that could be
surprise
too.
Him
or maybe just surprising that fans would never guess where they're going to split it. Maybe they're adding a scene and it's going to be split there.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
Where do you want
to tell in the trailer? It just seemed like, you know, there's so much going on. It's just tough to know where they end up going, you know.
It seemed pretty broad, and I have a hard time imagining how they're going to market the second one after they're marketing this as like, okay, here's like the battle.
Here's the battle of the first one.
Yeah. By the way, Josh, I see your subtitle is Better Apart. I know what you're voting today in the
referendum. I'd be different than yours. I actually like Scotland together with everybody else.
So the general consensus seems to be that this trailer did indeed live up to expectations. I think we're going to get one more big trailer, and then it'll be movie time. We're still two months away.
Nice to have a trailer focusing on some of the new characters like they did for Catching Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't really see
Natalie
any of the...
Doma.
We didn't really.
Yeah, we saw her a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
We saw Chrisetta a little bit. But she was it, right? I mean, we saw, of course, returning characters, but no new ones. Though,
yeah, there wasn't enough of a focus on the new ones.
Though I wonder how much they'll market them, because those characters, as an average viewer, are they going to want to be introduced to these supporting actors? I'm not sure.
I don't think they're as important as they were to market in Catching Fire, because Catching Fire, they were the new tributes. And so it was like super important to know who Katniss and Peter were going up against. But mm-hmm. the new characters in this are mainly the people from District and then like the camera crew. So, you know, it's exciting, but I don't think it matters as much to know who they are going into the film.
I can impose cameraman number one.
Right.
Well, the story has to focus in at some point, so they can't have, you know, all these side characters coming in all the time. So I think we'll see more streamlined film, maybe in the second film, but that'll probably happen at some point.
I feel like the marketing can still focus a lot more on Katniss, because so far we've actually seen like character posters from all the other characters to start off with, and then we got the trailers with Peter and Anna, but Katniss hasn't really been a focus of things until this trailer came out, so I would sort of hope that the next trailer focuses more on her as a Mockingjay and like adopting that role and what she would do with that before the first film comes out. I think that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, everybody's been saying, where's Katniss and all this promotional material, and we got a poster off her back for crying out loud, and then we got the front side. So now I'm hoping for posters of her sides. I want 360.
Yes.
They should do like one of those 360 degree posters, like those the obviously it's not a physical poster, it's just on the internet. It's like a new thing that the studios are doing. Okay, so I think that's all we have to say about Mockingjay the trailer. I just also wanted to mention that Lord, I think we already spoke about this, that she's curating the Mockingjay soundtrack and writing the first single. But just a little update. What's that?
Nothing.
The update is that she has recorded the song, and this is the first line of her single. I'm a princess cut from marble, smoother than a storm. So
glad she released that early.
Yeah, wow.
I was dying
really
to know.
Insightful.
Yeah, I was dying to know what the first line was going to be, so I'm glad she... Glad she teased it.
You wrote down like the first line. I was like, I should tweet this.
Yeah, and well, then in the article, I was like, is she writing from the perspective of Katniss? Presumably, she is.
I'm still excited for her.
Yeah,
I know.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
I can't. I'm amazing. Mainly excited to see what artists she's put together for this.
Yeah.
Especially because she says that everyone's like forgotten about these people.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We'll see, Lord. We'll see.
Yeah, okay.
Some of us never forget. So in other book to film adaptation news, there's big news on the Paper Towns front, the adaptation of the John Green novel. First of all, we found out right after we recorded our last episode that the movie is going to be directed by Jake Schreier. John Green said, he announced it on Twitter. He said, "I'm so psyched that Jake is directing Paper Towns. The script is amazing and Nat Wolff is Q, and it's really happening." John Green called this director brilliant. This guy directed Robot and Frank. Josh, have you seen that movie?
No.
Has anybody?
Nope.
Well, I'm sure it'll be fine. And then we found out yesterday, 2 days ago, we now know who's going to play Margot. And it's somebody I don't think anybody expected. It's like a supermodel. Her name is Cara Delevingne. And her Twitter cover art is very racy. John Green said, "Cara's audition blew everyone away, including me, and she understands Margot profoundly. I am so excited." I actually see Margot in her.
Yeah, me too. It's not surprising because it's kind of how she's described, isn't it?
Yeah, I just see it in her face. She's got that look on her. That I'm
like the far away, you know, sort of.
Yeah, kind of the sharp eyes. That's sort of what did it for me. So,
a lot of people are upset, though.
Yeah. Well, some people were saying that, you know, people had choices for, like, people are hoping for an actress who isn't a supermodel, I guess. It just seems very, seems like too Hollywood for this book to film adaptation. You know, Shailene Woodley was great because she did indie films. She wasn't really a big, big star yet before Divergent. Whereas Cara, she just gives off the, oh, it's all about Hollywood and red carpets.
But maybe they like the fact that she's a new actress. You know, she's raw.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen her in anything?
No, she is a unknown actress. She's going to be in Pan opposite, well, not opposite. She's got a supporting role in Pan, which stars Hugh Jackman and Amanda Seyfried. And then she was also one of the princesses in Anna Karenina in 2012. Mm. So those were the only two films I recognized on her IMDb profile.
It seems like she's in a lot of things that haven't come out yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's an up-and-comer, sort of like Nat Wolff and Ansel Elgort and Shailene to some extent, even as of a couple years ago.
I feel like she wasn't the way that I pictured Margot, but the casting of The Fault in Our Stars was so spot on that because it's the same creative team, I have faith that it will be right. You know, like when The Fault in Our Stars casting came out, there are a couple people that we thought, oh, like, why are they doing that character? And the casting was 100% perfect in that film. Like, whether or not you like the book or the film, the casting was so fantastic. So I think you have to have faith that they'll get it right as well for this one.
I think I have faith. I mean, same screenwriting team. I would have liked to see Josh Boone come back for this movie, actually, but whatever. What are you going to do?
But then it'll be like a different kind of take on John Green. So that could be good.
True. This movie comes out, by the way, July 31st, 2015. Now that they got their lead stars and their director, I guess they're going to start filming, I don't know, maybe later this year, early the next. I'm sure they're going to have it finished way ahead of the actual release date. So that's what's going on in the John Green world. There's been some other news. Josh is actually away for a second, so we'll skip this for right now. We'll skip. Let's talk Harry Potter. I just wanted to mention that it's been a year since Fantastic Beasts was announced. I remember exactly where I was the moment the news broke. I was at my computer, of course. That would be a safe bet. But I made an article on Hypeable about it because I wanted to recap. It's been a full year, so what have we learned? And we now know a couple things. It's not unexpected that we don't know some major details yet because the film is still 2 years away. We know these four things. David Heyman is returning to produce. David Yates is returning to direct. It's going to be released November 2016. Warner Brothers is planning a trilogy. And there will be theme park attractions and merchandise. So,
of course.
So I think next we're going to hear, you know, from Warner Brothers saying that David Yates is the director officially. And then hopefully we'll move on to casting Newt. So does anybody have any comments about Fantastic Beasts? Are they sick of hearing about it?
I'm just
hurry
excited.
Up with it.
Yeah, seriously.
Casting, please.
I think it's interesting that they're taking over the Hunger Games spot in the movie release date calendar, because this date, this November, this pre-Thanksgiving date has been taken by Harry Potter, Twilight, now the Hunger Games. So I think it's so cool that like this is the new Thanksgiving film.
Yeah, and it's a good sign from the studio that they're backing it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to some other big casting news. Tom Hiddleston is joining this King Kong movie called Skull Island. This was the movie I think I mentioned on Hype a couple episodes ago. I was like going to the bathroom during the Universal panel at Comic-Con, and then I'm about to go in, and I see this new footage coming up on the screen, and nobody knows what it is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Jurassic World. So I leave the bathroom line and go watch, and then we're all... I think everybody in Hall H assumed this was Jurassic World because it's like it's jungles and there's like creatures.
It looked like Jurassic World.
Yeah, you were there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you thinking it was
yeah,
Jurassic
I was
World?
There too.
Were you thinking it was Jurassic World?
Yeah. Because no one knew what Skull Island was.
Yeah, like, we were all like, what the fuck? Excuse me. That's oh. being a little inappropriate.
Yeah.
I was very upset.
That was a poor decision to get out of that bathroom line.
Exactly. So it's
definitely not worth it.
It's like it's a King Kong origin story, and Tom Hiddleston is going to star in it. But do we know who he's going to star as? Is he King Kong?
The woman.
He's the woman. I imagine he'll be like a scientist or something. It's always something like that.
Are you going to gender bend King Kong? Queen Kong?
Queen
Please.
Kong.
I have discovered this Kong that is king.
Wasn't there some like flying thing in the footage of this? People are going to get mad that we don't know what it is.
No, I don't.
Oh, I didn't see the footage. Sorry.
Well, Andrew and I are obviously experts on King Kong.
I ran away as soon as I saw it wasn't Jurassic World.
Yeah, it was highly disappointing.
But obviously...
Now you're disappointed because Tom Hiddleston's in it.
I love Tom Hiddleston.
You would have looked closer, you would have seen that he was in the forest.
Right, well, now I'll watch it because Tom Hiddleston's in it. Now I'm interested.
I thought it was a bit of a surprising choice for him, but whatever.
Yeah, he's trying to get into another franchise. So.
Genre,
he wants his own Marvel-free film.
Mm. Yeah.
There was other big news. So the Bourne films, they originated with Matt Damon. And there's been two with Matt Damon. And then...
Three films with him.
Oh,
three.
Okay. There's been three. And then he was rumored to not be coming back ever again. But then earlier this week... we found out that indeed this new Bourne film that's coming up is actually going to be with Matt Damon.
Yep, and the original director, John Green, something.
So
John Green is directing.
John Green.
That was the big news.
What did you?
Fall Greengrass.
Were you shocked by this, Josh? Because it seemed like a big
deal. A little bit. Yeah, a little bit, because Matt Damon kind of had written it off because he wanted to work with director Fall Greengrass, and they just couldn't get together schedule-wise, and so he basically left it, you know, fine. And then Jeremy Renner did one, I guess, 2 years ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. And so we thought that Jeremy Renner was just going to be the new Bourne, but as a new character, because the films make a lot of money, and they're not CGI-heavy, so they're not super expensive to make. And so we were expecting to see Jeremy Renner coming up, I think, next year in a new film. So his film has been pushed back probably indefinitely, but pushed back until 2016, I believe. And so now we have Matt Damon back.
All right.
Reportedly. We haven't heard from Matt Damon or the studio, so, you know.
Matt Damon's had a few flops recently, so some believe that this is like his way of kind of
getting back into it. Yeah, and I said that in article. It was like, you know, this is his chance to get back with his fans, and I imagine that's what he's planning to do.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm still awesome. You'll see.
Yeah.
In Hobbit news, I don't know why Warner Brothers did this. This is so bizarre to me. They released this tapestry, which is...
It's so cool, though.
It's so cool, but it's like the largest movie poster in the history of cinema.
Impossible to
view.
They
just want
to
get attention somehow. Next is going to be the smallest.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they should do next. So this poster is... It's got a bunch of characters, some photoshopped worse than others. Poor Josh had to cut it up into like 8 pieces to make it fit.
Well,
on
I was
the
like,
site.
No one's gonna be able to see this thing, and so I was like, I just cut it up, and hopefully you guys like. It looked like a bunch of people in the comments said they did appreciate that.
It looks like a panoramic that you take with your iPhone.
I guess Warner Brothers is trying to say, hey guys, this is our biggest film ever. Please come and see the movie.
Here's the biggest poster.
I was trying to sleep last night, I was thinking about this and how they renamed it the Battle of the Five Armies. And it was so upsetting to me because I love the name There and Back Again. And for them to just create a new subtitle for marketing purposes, it was like, okay, let's try to make this film sound as big as possible. What subtitle are we going to change it to? Oh, I know. We're going to tell people that five groups are fighting it out against one another. It's just dumb.
It also just speaks about how it's going to be amped up action and less maybe character. You know, it's an action title. It's not a character title, which is really upsetting.
I'm trying to be positive about the Hobbit. You guys are making
it's exciting.
I think this will be the best of the three, but that doesn't mean it'll be a great film.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be like a great film, but I just like...
I think it's going to be good. The ending's going to make us cry.
I'll stay positive for you.
So it comes out in November, or sorry, December.
December, yep.
Kristen Wiig may be starring in Ghostbusters 3. Was this the one we had heard about a little bit with an all-star, you know, female cast?
Woo!
Yep. So I love this.
I love this news.
Yeah, and this would...
Right, how great is this?
Yeah.
This would reportedly be directed by Bridesmaids director Paul Feig. I think, this is great if this actually moves forward. But they just got to find other women who can, like, live up to Kristen's level. Just bring back all the Bridesmaids women.
I was going to say, it's just the Bridesmaids cast all over again. Who would it
Didn't
be
just
in,
come
like,
from
Ghostbusters
like...
3 anyway? Everyone
Didn't this
would be
just come from like Bill Murray saying like, oh yeah, Kristen Wiig's hilarious, like she should be in Ghostbusters, and then it became like a story from the studio. Yeah.
Maybe the director was like, oh yeah, he's right, she should.
I would take advice from Bill Murray in my life, why not?
I would just make every movie Bill Murray tells me to make.
I would just do anything that Bill Murray told me to do, regardless of movies.
Okay.
He seems like he has a good time.
I'm glad you guys bring this up. What is up with this obsession with Bill Murray? Like, there was a Bill Murray day last week, and people were, like, worshipping Bill Murray, just like you guys. Like, I know he's good.
Because he's cool.
He's hilarious,
I don't
man.
Get
like,
it.
But people act like he's...
Have you guys ever seen where he just, like, walks up to people's weddings and, like, hangs out, and, like, he walks up to people where they're hanging out in the bar and stuff? It just seems like he's, you know, not the normal actor.
He doesn't take himself very seriously.
And he just is super cool. He's just
and
cool.
He happens to be one of the funniest people of all time. So it's probably, you know...
Man,
so there.
Take
that, Andrew.
I didn't know all this worshipping was happening until like last week. Everybody.
I didn't know it was happening until now.
Yeah, but Kyle, have you even seen Ghostbusters? Or
no,
Andrew?
So
Have either of you seen Ghostbusters?
We should arrange a hyperbole viewing of that.
I mean, Kyle and Andrew, there are multiple films that they should be watching.
Hey, at least there's a Star Wars now. So.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, well done.
Little Marvel news. It's been a little quiet on the Marvel front, actually.
Yep.
But Robert Downey Jr. has just reminded everybody that, no, there are no plans for an Iron Man 4. But I don't believe him, necessarily, because even if there was, he wouldn't say that there was. He's not going to be the
just
one.
Just look at Matt Damon. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, Matt Damon's a little bit different because his career's kind of going downhill. But,
I know. In 5 years, it'll be...
Robert Downey, I think, is probably telling the truth. I think that he's probably not evading questions like anyone else would from Marvel. I think that he's probably just tired of doing the solo films, and he's like, I have a contract for these other, you know, two Avenger films, and he doesn't need any more money, so he just wants to focus on, you know, like, he has The Judge coming out soon, and he probably wants to focus on the smaller films.
And Marvel,
you have to remember, he's like an art house guy, you know, like, he grew up in a family of artists, and he's not going to do these comic book movies forever.
And Marvel is notoriously cheap with paying their cast members. So in order to get
most cast members, yeah, so but probably not him.
Well, I think the issue would be like Robert Downey would want a huge amount of money to do Iron Man 4 and potentially a fifth movie.
Well, he reportedly was paid $100 million for Avengers 2 and 3. So,
well, the question would be, is he worth it anymore? And have so many other franchises.
Could you replace him? Yeah.
Well, not replace the actor.
His slot.
Replace his slot. Yeah. Like, we don't need Iron Man 4. We just need
Black Widow.
Groot 1. Yeah, or
I agree 100%. Like, I think that Iron Man's done. You know, he's good in the Avengers series, but I think that they should find another character, just like they did with Guardians, and bring it up, you know, and make someone else a star, because that's what we really like to see. That, you know what I mean? We don't really want to see Robert Downey Jr. play Iron Man for five more films.
Right.
You know, we want to see someone new or someone that we like, you know, get a role like Chris Pratt, and, you know, as he did in Guardians. And I think that they'll figure that out at some point.
How about someone who isn't like a white dude? Just like throwing it out there.
No, bad idea.
What happened?
Yeah. Kevin Feige, not a fan.
Yeah.
But raccoons.
Not a fan of the ladies.
How about a raccoon movie? That would be cool.
Right, yeah. Yes. No one will watch a movie about women, but they'll definitely watch one about like a weird talking tree who can only say three words. Crazy raccoon psychopath. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think they should.
Black Widow movie. Please.
I think they should kill Iron Man in Avengers 2 or 3. 3, obviously, not 2.
Yeah. I think it would be a good idea, because I think that it would be one of the biggest films of all time.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest.
And then
they could
reboot
do
Iron Man.
Ghostbusters
in
mashup.
What, Selena?
I was just making a stupid joke.
Oh, okay. I'm sure funny.
I think Downey would love that, though. I feel like he'd be the guy who'd be like, yes, this is a great idea to kill off, you know, Iron Man.
Yeah, he's so done with that.
So that's...
But,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I feel like
I want a Maria Hill spin-off.
It's going to be interesting with Captain America, because Captain America 3 is supposed to change the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, or like it's going to have a huge effect on it. So I'm wondering if that's also going to have effect on Iron Man and like all that. And maybe that's why, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they said that the storyline should, or the director said that the storyline should change everything. So I imagine, you know, like in Captain America 2, you know, Hydra basically took over and then S.H.I.E.L.D. fell, and that changes everything for the Iron Man world just as much as it does for Captain America. So,
are they going to make Thor a woman in the movies or just the comics?
No, it's just the comics.
They should, though.
Not yet,
Natalie
not yet,
Dormer
anyway.
Should play Thor.
Is everyone?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, all
she
of that stuff
play,
that came out, it was all for the comics.
So that's about it for movie news. We have some random stories. Well, not random stories. We got TV stories. But first, jumping back to Harry Potter for a minute, I just wanted to note that J.K. Rowling has revealed her Patronus. It is a animal I had never heard of until she said it. A pine marten.
And it might be the cutest animal ever.
And it might be the cutest animal ever. Yeah, I wonder how she came to decide on her Patronus being a pine marten.
Oh,
she
so
just
cute.
Googled, like, cutest animal ever, and this came up.
What does a pine marten even do? Like, what's its special powers?
Well,
what's,
those spells.
What's cool about it?
It's part of the mustelid animal family, which also houses creatures like minks, otters, badgers, wolverines, and weasels.
That's the family she likes.
Yeah. They're similar. You know, you got the Hermione connection in there. You got the Hufflepuff connection. But I was just shocked that J.K. Rowling had never revealed her Patronus.
I could have sworn she said it was an otter like Hermione's.
I know. I thought that. I heard that
I swear I heard that somewhere. Mm.
I think she chose this one now just because she likes to remind people that she's normal. You know, that she's, people are putting her up on such a pedestal all the time and saying, like, our queen and our goddess and all that.
Right.
So she's like, oh, this is my Patronus. I'm a normal little animal who, you know.
Yeah, but she owns this Patronus, and it actually does spells, so it's not the same.
Maybe she has a Pine Marten living on property.
Yeah.
And cuddles it.
It wouldn't surprise me. It lives in that little Hogwarts hut.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the tweet she made about the Pottermore test, or about watching Pottermore for...
Finally!
Yes.
5 years later.
Somebody asked if there's going to be a Patronus test on the site, and she said, keep watching Pottermore. But frankly, it should have been released during Prisoner of Azkaban when we learn about Patronuses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are they up to on Pottermore right now? Has anyone used that anymore?
I haven't logged on. In...
I think they're finished. I think they're finished with Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
I think.
How did that happen?
Now I don't know.
No, they can't be. Wait.
How could a Patronus test work, though? Because, like, there's only so many inputs that they can put of results. You know, like, it's still going to be only out of, like, 20 animals or something.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. Only 20. Why can't it just
be? Well, like, whatever. Yeah, but what about when the sorting happened and everyone was like, oh, like, my house is bad. Oh, wait, that's because all of the sorting needs to, like, equal out so that everyone has, like, equal numbers of people in the houses so that they can compete.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
scary. Yeah. Remember that, like, controversy?
That was a gigantic piece of drama.
Right.
Maybe it's different. That's why it's taken so long with the Patronus test, because they want to include, like, every animal in the world, and that's why her example is such a random one.
I hope I get a dragon.
What would your Patronus be? That's such a tough question.
Yeah, right? I have no clue.
A fox.
Mine would be like...
I know.
Yeah. A fox?
Yeah.
Mine would be like something that's super lazy, but then like has the ability to kill you.
A wet sloth.
Wet sloth.
Yeah, like a koala or something. Because I'm Australian.
So I just looked it up. They're actually only finished with Goblet of Fire. They haven't started Order of the Phoenix yet.
Oh, okay.
Still, oh, well, that'll take them like 4 years to get through Order of the Phoenix.
I just tried to log into my account. I couldn't remember my account or password. Yeah,
they do seem to move a little too slow with these. I don't know why it takes so long. Maybe there was like staff reductions or something.
They're not even that much fun to go through. You just click it.
Yeah,
there aren't a lot of bad design.
J.K. Rowling has to introduce more interesting things. There's not many interesting things in her writing, in my opinion.
More drama.
Like a team of app developers or something that just could make like in-game stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, they need her to like out more characters and like.
I was
going
to say some big reveal.
I saw your tweet to her, Andrew.
Yeah, I asked her on Twitter.
Wonderful.
What other characters are gay? She didn't reply. I'm just going to start asking that every time she starts going on a Twitter binge.
Answering questions.
What?
Yeah.
You broke up for a second. What'd you say?
Oh, you're gonna ask her every time she like starts answering questions?
Oh yeah, exactly.
That's perfect.
Little late night news. CBS has officially announced that James Corden is going to replace Craig Ferguson as
I'm so excited.
Me too.
He's really? So funny.
James Corden? You guys have heard of this guy?
Yeah. Everyone has heard of him except for you because you're not a Doctor Who fan.
It's not Doctor Who. It's just like anyone who's watched British TV.
British television,
He's so great.
Yeah.
He's very
famous.
Obviously.
All right, guys, calm down. Jeez.
So he's so sweet. I think he's going to be like the British Jimmy Kimmel, just nicer.
I'm sure you all are going to start tuning in at 12:30 CBS every night.
See, I'm just sad because I still like Craig Ferguson a lot.
I do too. I watch his interviews a lot.
Isn't he getting another show?
Yes, he is getting another show.
So you can watch him make bad jokes on that show, like.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't understand what he's saying. Every time I watch, I have to like tune my ears.
I love the skits he does with his robot.
Oh, that's the worst thing.
I love it. But he did a great interview with Robin Williams that he re-released, and it was really good.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I'm sure he'll do well.
Well, James Corden is funny anyway.
Yeah, he's so sweet.
He's going to be in Into the Woods as the baker.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that movie.
Me too.
Which apparently, by the way, it's already finished because it already got a rating from the MPAA, as did Mockingjay earlier this week. So,
Andrew, have you seen Into the Woods, like the musical?
No, but I'm like aware of the story and everything. So.
Okay, I haven't seen it either, and I don't know really what goes. I just know there are a bunch of fairy tale characters in it, mm-hmm. and I'm debating on if I should like try to find a copy of Into the Woods and watch it before I watch the movie, or if I could just go into the movie.
You should just watch it. We should just watch the movie.
Yeah.
It's not hard to find a copy of it because they filmed both the Broadway cast and the London cast, and there are DVDs of them that, like, exist.
Oh, okay.
So you can watch it, but I would be interested if you just watched the movie and, like, what you thought of that without seeing the musical beforehand.
Like Hairspray and Sweeney Todd, I hadn't seen the musicals, and then I went into both of them and absolutely loved them and became obsessed with
Sweeney
the soundtracks.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd was amazing.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd was so good. Other TV news, just a little update. The Walking Dead is premiering soon. And
thank God.
AMC, Josh is obsessed with this show. And you want to cover it? And AMC has announced that the spinoff series has gotten a pilot order. But we still don't know anything about the story, like what's happening in this spinoff. We do know it's taking place in a completely separate area than where the current Walking Dead is currently set. And AMC is billing this as a companion series, not a spinoff. So there have been rumors that this is going to be taking place at the same during the early days of the outbreak, seeing how the humans are trying to prevent it from spreading. That's a rumor. But we don't know anything officially.
Are there any dates for this?
They're going to start filming later this year, actually. So I would think casting announcements and story stuff is going to start leaking.
Yeah.
I would think. In other TV news, a Supergirl TV series is in the works from the producer of Flash and Arrow.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Yeah, this is pretty significant. So, of course, Flash and Arrow, both really popular shows on the CW. Well, Arrow is. Flash is about to start up, and it looks like the Flash is going to be a huge hit as well. So to have a lead female in a recognizable role like Supergirl could be a very big deal. Now, it hasn't been picked up by any network yet, but they're going to be shopping it around soon.
I mean, they tried with Wonder Woman like 2 years ago, and it failed, so I wonder if this is actually going to make it to TV.
So Wonder Woman didn't make it to TV?
No, they'd cast the Adrian Palicki, and they designed costumes and everything, and then it just fell through.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe they just didn't like the costumes. Eh, we'll do it.
Yeah, I think that's
it.
Yeah.
The producing team for Flash and Arrow, they're really good at marketing and just getting their vibe out there. So I feel like since it's coming from them, hopefully they'll have more success.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, they know their audience well, it seems.
And I think they're probably learning from The Flash that having a really good choice means everything for their lead star. Like Grant Gustin, everybody's excited about Grant Gustin as The Flash. You know, he's nice to look at. He's sort of got that he's got that superhero appeal. I think like he's perfect for The Flash. So if they pick a woman who is recognizable, well-known, got that superhero look on her, I think they could do really well with that. And plus, there's just going to be a lot of interest. So
yeah, they're like tapping into a market that no one else has used yet because everyone is like, won't make a thing about a female hero. And if you think that there isn't an audience for that, you're crazy because people are begging for it. So people will watch it regardless of who's cast in it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is you'll have the male audience who watches it.
People are going to watch Agent Carter regardless of what happens.
Yep. Josh?
Oh, no, I was just going to say you're going to have the male audience who's going to watch it anyway, and then you're going to have now the female audience who's going to be interested in it, which is probably bigger than the male audience.
Exactly.
Audience is like already watching shows like Flash and Arrow, but they'll definitely
saying.
Be greater
They're already
interest.
There. We just don't focus on them, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, because people are idiots.
Yeah. That was without saying.
So, looking at the calendar, of course, all the fall television is premiering. within the next couple of weeks. Very busy time on Hypeable as we bring all the news to you. This week, New Girl premiered, as did the Mini Project. Red Band Society premiered last night. Kyle, how is that show? That's a new show starring
Red
Octavius.
Band Society is great. It's amazing.
I saw it in an ad. It's like The Fault in Our Stars meets Glee. Seriously, that's what a banner ad said. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, it. Yeah.
So there's music in it?
No, it's just it's meeting Glee. It's like the happiness of Glee meets like the kind of sad vibes of Fault in Our Stars, and they kind of mix together.
Okay.
It's the pilot was really good, really cheesy at points, but it has some great potential. It feels like a show that would end up like Parenthood. If anyone watches like Parenthood on NBC, like it would be like that.
So Selena, you did a dueling column about this show, right?
I did.
And so what side did you take?
I took the positive side, and Danielle took the negative. What? And I think, I mean, she made amazing points. I see all of the sort of cheesy problems that it potentially has. You know, the writer has stated that they're going to be, you know, focusing on the relationships, and it's going to be soapy goodness, and those things are sort of usually red flags. Mm-hmm. But I think that, no pun intended, but I think the pilot was really good, and I actually think when you do a show like about teens, sick teenagers, you have to focus on the relationships between the whole, because the whole point is that they are trying to grow, you know, it's a teen show about teens trying to grow up, but it's in the context of something so serious. Yeah. So you want to, I mean, that's heightening the stakes for friendships and romances and all of that. So I think it has the potential to be really, really poignant, you know, if they do it well, but still be entertaining and still be fun and still be feel good.
Yeah.
Even though the subject is so grim.
Yeah. Well, obviously they got a good cast, especially with Octavia Spencer. So
she's great.
We'll see how it goes. And then also this week, Madam Secretary. This to me was like, it looks like The Good Wife. I mean, just by the title and the promo footage, but apparently it's a little more like Scandal. So
woohoo!
Yeah, it premieres on Sunday, so it's got that Sunday time slot. I kind of want to watch it because I've always regretted not watching The Good Wife. Now it's like 5 seasons in. I'm just like, I cannot sit through 5 seasons of show to catch up. So,
me too.
So maybe we should start Madam Secretary. Yeah.
I feel like they're killing themselves putting it up against Once Upon a Time's time slot at 8 o'clock.
I think it's a different audience.
It is. This is very true.
Once Upon a Time is youngins like you.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever. but so beyond this week, there's tons of television premiering. We have a great fall 2014 TV premiere dates calendar organized by Christina Lintz. Next week, just everything's premiering.
Looking at next week, I'm like dying a little bit on the inside.
I'm just so glad something started.
Life is gonna go away.
Nothing on television.
I forgot to mention this Sunday is also the premiere of Downton Abbey in the UK. But then we've got Gotham, Big Bang Theory, Sleepy Hollow, The Blacklist, The Voice, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Scandal, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder,
Modern Family, Grey's, and then Shark
sure
Tank
check
on
out
Friday.
This premiere day calendar that Kristen made. It looks really nice.
Yeah, so if you go to this, and we're going to add a link to the top of the site soon. If you go to this, you can click on any one of the shows and then add it to your own calendar. So you don't forget.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade from our little little lists that we used to do.
Yeah, this is really nice.
Yeah, she did.
It reminded me of a couple things.
At first, we only made this for ourselves, and then we were like, let's share it with the world.
Let's be nice to everyone.
Also on the calendar, this Friday, tomorrow, September 19th, the long-awaited release of the book-to-film adaptation of The Maze Runner by James.
Yes, I just finished the book yesterday. I'm so excited.
What did you think? Because I didn't like the book that much.
Me either.
I thought the book had a lot of pacing problems, and a lot of, like, the girl who was asleep in the coma was, like, pointless for, like, half the book until she woke up. But I'm excited because that's going to be different in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited that someone dies at the end. And I'm just...
spoiler!
Oh. Well,
spoilers.
Oh, there's a lot.
Well, I mean, several people die because they get attacked.
Yeah. Okay.
Stop talking. You're making it worse.
The movie is actually doing fairly well.
It's
got a 70% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, which is miles above what we've seen from other similar films.
Yeah, and most.
This was always on track to do well, though.
Was it?
I don't know. Ryan is amazing, and I think, you know, the story just fits better for film than it does for book. You know,
yeah, it's like, way more cinematic.
It's so predictable, mm-hmm. but yeah, cinema, yes. It's such a big image, you know. Mm-hmm.
And Dashner is not the strongest writer, so I think that's where it kind of fell down in terms of the
But
text.
The idea is good, and that's, and then you've got Dylan O'Brien, who's fantastic. And
I think they did a great job at moving it from spring to fall, because I feel like it didn't have nearly as much attention or marketing when it was out in the spring. Like, they were like, oh, this is coming out soon, let's just move it.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to come out in February.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out really early this year.
And then, like, it was getting closer and closer, and there was, like, no trailer or anything, and they were like, okay, we're gonna delay it.
Using Comic-Con to, like, help up its promotion.
But that's the thing, like, it was at Comic-Con 2013, too. So, I don't know what happened with that, but you're right. There, there's been a lot of good reviews. Actually, I think every critic that I follow really liked The Maze Runner. And, like,
and
Josh,
it's so rare for a book to movie adaptation. Yeah. It's not like a lot of people, all the critics, like, hate it.
Also coming
out, I think we almost have, like, this expectation to not like these adaptations anymore.
But I think Hunger Games did a lot to change that because it's so mainstream and so light.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's a step above. I don't know, maybe it's because the actor's involved.
I know. Karen did a review for when she saw it at Comic-Con, but do you guys know if Louis's going to be doing a review? Because he's...
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I'm so interested to see what that guy thinks. I always disagree with him.
You always disagree with him?
I always disagree with him. I'm like,
He's plotting his review
right
now.
Can't wait to, like, make fake accounts and comment on his...
I'm going to text him as soon as it comes out and be like, what the hell,
Is Louis reviewing this? I thought Kristen was doing it.
Oh, I don't know. I'll look at the guide.
Louis reviews everything for us, so...
Yeah, well, only because Kristen saw it at a Comic-Con. So, okay. Right. I don't know if she, like, was reviewing it and holding it off until it came out.
So
there's going to be lots of Maze Runner articles up this weekend, anyway.
So. Yes.
Kristen is reviewing the Maze Runner. Yep.
Ah, okay. Well, then I'll just text Louis and I'll ask him what he thinks.
Yeah. Problem solved.
So, he's going to be like, I didn't see it.
By the way, the sequel, The Scorch Trials, is already in development in New Mexico. I don't know if they're actually planning on filming there, but...
That's random.
The producer... Well, New Mexico actually has a good... offers
tax breaks.
Tax breaks. Breaking Bad film there. A bunch of movies have filmed there. In Albuquerque, actually.
Yep. Avengers film there.
Right. So.
Thor film some there. Yeah.
This Is Where I Leave You also comes out this weekend and has a pretty amazing cast. Jason Bateman, Tina Fey, Jane Fonda, Corey Stahl, Adam Driver.
I've heard a lot of good things about this.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the reviews are not that great. It has a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, making it wrong.
Yeah, it's a weird film, though. I feel like it's hard to be commercially successful.
But I like
the
trailers.
It's very indie, isn't it?
Yeah. But I love Jason Bateman. He's great.
The good cast will help a lot. And we wanted to plug some things here before we wrap up the show. First of all, The Fault in Our Stars just hit DVD and Blu-ray earlier this week. We conducted a new interview with Josh Boone. We said, why aren't you directing Paper Towns? No, we asked him, what advice does he have for the people who are adapting John Green films, since obviously he did such a good job. So we spoke about that. We also asked him about the five books that define him.
Pamela did that, didn't she?
Because of that meme. So Pamela did that interview for us. Pamela told me he raved about Hypeable. He's a big fan.
Oh, yay.
Oh.
So we also have this new tournament just starting to launch. Kyle, tell us about Character Combat Fierce
Females.
I like the title.
It's basically, thank you.
Thanks.
It's, Selena's the one that helped.
Good job, Selena.
Basically, just like battleships. So if you guys have ever voted in battleships and like you vote for your favorite ship and then they go off against each other, that's what it is, except this time it's just character-based. And we're putting all of the amazing females in television that are currently in TV shows right now. And you basically vote for your favorite female character, and at the end, it's going to be between two kick-ass female characters that you're going to have to vote for. It's
now,
pretty
Kyle,
cool.
What is the definition of a kick-ass female character?
Kick-ass female character, in my definition, is just a character that's written well and that people really adore and can fend for themselves. Not
so
necessarily
any genre.
Yeah, any genre. So, like, comedies, like, because even in comedies, like in New Girl, Jess is awesome. Like, she's really independent, and so is Cece. So, and then, but then there's also, like, Scandal, where there's, like, Olivia Pope, and, like, she's actually, like, in, like, life-threatening danger. So, like, you can vote for either one, whichever you like more. And, yeah, it's currently in its nominations phase, so you can still vote for up to, like, two more days until the 20th to vote for your 25 or 24 favorite female characters.
And there are a lot of them.
There are 200 of them. Almost, yeah, there are almost, I almost made more than 200, but I was like, all right, I'm just going to.
Yeah, that's okay. You can't include everybody.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like when you go to vote for president.
Yeah.
I don't know that person. We also conducted an interview with the Russo brothers, who directed Captain America 2. Did they direct the original as well?
No. Okay. Second one. Second and third.
Yeah, so they'll be directing the third, and we got some interesting comments from them about the third movie, so be sure to check those out on Hypeable as well. And like I mentioned, we asked Josh Boone the books that define him. We're doing a running series on Hypeable now, the books that define our writers. So those are coming out every few days. It's been a busy month on Hypeable. We've also got Harry Potter quizzes coming out every other day. I think, is Harry finished it now, or is there one more?
I think there's like one more.
Okay.
I think there's Beetle the Bard, Tales of Beetle the Bard.
Okay, so but he did all 7 Harry Potter books, plus Quidditch, plus Fantastic Beasts, and now Beetle the Bard, and I think that'll be it.
Yeah, enough.
Next he should start doing Pottermore quizzes, yeah.
I woke up at like 8 a.m.
Oh, God. These ones were hot enough. Don't encourage him.
My friends from San Francisco were taking this quiz when I went up there, and I like woke up and they're taking it, and I could just hear them like ask each other the questions, and they're both like, I don't know, man. Like, what the hell is this quiz? This is so hard.
Yeah, they're
Harry is a tough quiz master.
It was hysterical. They struggled so bad.
Yeah. They're great quizzes, and we did them to celebrate the new year at Hogwarts, of course, September 1st, so great job to Harry on those. And then the dueling reviews, Selena, were you pleased with the plug I gave earlier?
Pleased.
Okay, just wanted to remind everybody that Selena and Danielle did a dueling reviews. We do this every once in a while, where we have one article that is for something and one article against that same thing, and
we have a bunch coming up for all of the pilots and
stuff
coming up.
Yeah, because we're debating what shows are worth watching and, excuse me, which aren't, which will put you to sleep.
I like what we're doing now.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you can check out Hypeable for all the news that we discussed today. I'm sure there'll be some big news once we hit the stop broadcast button on this episode.
Probably.
As always, you can leave comments on the post announcing this particular episode to sound off or disagree or agree with anything that we said today. And maybe I should check out what people said about our last episode really quick. One moment, please. Let's see here. Oh, and also I should plug that every other Thursday we do these episodes live on Google Hangout. So if you want to tune in, we do it 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific every other Thursday. So our next episode will be Thursday, October 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern on Google Hangout.
And Andrew will have an even cooler hat on.
Yes, this is the hat.
We should all have hats on next time.
This is the hat of my better half who just got it yesterday, and I was like, I need to wear that tomorrow. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I was looking at the comments. We didn't get many comments on the last one, except for Cassie. Shout out, Cassie. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I will see you next time for episode 35. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye,
guys.